The Piano Matters is supported by Jacobs Music in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, the area representative of Steinway & Sons for new and previously owned Steinway pianos. More information is available at jacobsmusic.com. And we're rolling. I am David Dubois, your host for the Piano Matters program for the piano and its practitioners. And I have a lot to give you today. The most important thing in communication is to hear what isn't being said, says Peter Drucker. In music, we have to hear all of what the composer says, and that takes many listenings. Robert Casadesus was a great pianist, the last of the great pianists born in the 19th century, one may say, born in 1899, and an illustrious composer. We hear very little of his music. I have an impromptu for us to listen to, Opus 67, number 4, and the player is not Casadesus, but John Owings. Let's have that impromptu. Quite nice, isn't it? And you knew that was French music. It certainly is not Russian or German. It has a certain refinement, and Casadesus' performances always did have that. We heard John Ewing, or Owing, I'm sorry. Owings, O-W-I-N-G-S. If you're hearing me, Mr. Owings, please forgive me. We continue the Piano Matters with a small piece by Adolf Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N. He's a long-lost 19th century composer, and possibly he should be revived. There is a big piano sonata even, but he was primarily known for his songs and piano pieces. Jensen's Ghost Returns, when Arthur Lesser plays for us Eros, live from Town Hall in New York in 1969. Well, Arthur Lesser revived that ghost of Jensen's Eros, a little piece that we can hear once every 5 to 15 years. And it has that kind of romantic rhetoric that runs through the 19th century in many pieces. I'm David Dubal, hoping all of you tell your friends and cousins to tune in to The Piano Matters. Let's move along with my former student at Juilliard, the Icelandic pianist Víkingur Ólafsson. We'll listen to him in the jig from J.S. Bach's Fifth Partita. Yes, it is the one in G. Partita in G, the jig, last movement by Bach, of course, and played wonderfully by Víkingur Ólafsson, a fine lad. Comes from the country of Iceland. Have you been there? Not I. He says it's breathtaking beauty. It's something else at certain places. Less than a million people in the whole country. That's quite something in this overpopulated world. I have a quote for you by Kathy Landeman, and she said, "My parents had only one argument in 45 years. It lasted 43 years. That quote was taken from the Sunbeams section of the excellent magazine, The Sun. Last week I said I didn't read any magazines, but I do subscribe to that because in bits there's some really wonderful stuff. And it's a monthly. And this magazine, yes, I like. And also I do read the New Criterion. That's a journal of great, great articles. And what else do I read? Well, I read the New York Review of Books, and I read the London Review of Books, and I read the New York Times Book Review. I think you can get a lot of news about what's happening in the world by reading these book reviews. We haven't heard the venerable Chilean Claudio Arrau lately. Let's listen to the Valse Romantique of Debussy. He was a very old man when he recorded it, and it's his last actual recording session. It's the Valse Romantique of Claude Debussy, Arrau. Thank you. Valse Romantique, an early piano piece by Debussy, probably composed around 1888, along with The Ballade and The Dance and The Nocturne, just before his mature work, The Afternoon of a Faun. Oh, this was a rather dragging, slow waltz. I think you would be wearing very heavy boots in it. Well, it wasn't to my liking at 5 minutes long. I was looking hard for the Gisa King to compare, which is 3 minutes and just filled with light. I'll get it for you. It's the time. Yep, for Scarlatti. He's one of my many loves. It's Bogarelish playing the K-135 in E major. Let's hear Scarlatti. Mano Mano Satarata Dumpling. That was a fabulous performance by Ivo Pogorelish. Oscar Lotti. He had no faults as a composer. None as a man. Oh, well, unless it be gaming. He couldn't resist gambling. But he was fortunate that his debts, and there were always debts, were paid for him by a pupil. His only pupil, Maria Barbara, Princess of Portugal, then Queen of Spain. How she adored her music master, that handsome Domenico Scarlatti, son of Alessandro. Certainly, Domenico is the greatest harpsichordist of history, and she must be the greatest royal pupil ever to play the harpsichord. It's a romantic story. Why doesn't a movie maker take the subject? Indeed, of all the stuff that they take for movies, this is a real great one. Get home. Start writing that screenplay. Farinelli, the great castrato, was also in Madrid at the time, knew Scarlatti, and they all had a good time. What sets? The Madrid palaces. Ah, oh, I'd like Garbo to play the princess, the Queen of Spain, and Stuart Granger to play Scarlatti. Here is a rare recording from Australian broadcasting of William Capel in his last days. Ah, it's the first movement of the Mozart K570, the third of his B-flat sonatas. Let us have Willie Capel. Thank you. And that was William Capella in the first movement of the K570 in a last recital, really, in Australia before that tragic accident, which took his life at age 31. And it was a good performance, nothing more, even a few flubs. Well, Liszt wrote four Mephisto waltzes. Number four, in which we hear Franz Clidat, C-L-I-D-A-T, Clidat, is the weakest of the four, without doubt. Yet it still has something very worthwhile in it. It's also the shortest. Let's listen to Franz Clidat in the fourth Mephisto waltz.
Thank you.
Franz Klida in the Fourth Mephisto Waltz, and for me, it was the most imaginative I've ever heard that piece played. The old Abbey Liszt still had and was infused with passion even in his old age. Was it Blake who said, I'm not certain, the eternal body of man is the imaginations? Here is the immortal slow movement Adagio Cantabile of Beethoven from his Pathetic Sonata, Opus 13. It was composed in 1799. What was Napoleon doing at that moment? Perhaps this magnificent love lyric is a duet for mezzo, soprano, and baritone, perhaps. It certainly is a love song. As few things endure, this piece has not had its day. Emil Galels from the Russian Soul is on the boards.
Thank you.
That was, I thought, very beautiful, very fine sound. What a glorious inside your whole gut sound the Gilels can get. The Adagio Cantabile singing of the Pathétique Sonata Opus 13 by Beethoven. Gilels the player. Love is a perpetual theme of music, and when Liszt wrote his Liebestraum, he gave us love which has indeed lasted. I give you a magnificent performance by Benyuma or Benno Moiseevich.
Thank you.
So many of you have asked for more Moiseevich and more of the great golden age pianists, and that certainly is one of the reasons that this program exists, for me at least, to keep alive the names of these heroes of the keyboard. That was Moiseevich in the very fine third Liebestraum, still popular. Number two, not known. Number one, not known. Also very good pieces. Marshall McLuhan said, "The new electronic interdependence recreates the world in the image of a global village." Yes, it's true. How right about many things Mr. McLuhan was during his glory years of the late 60s and 70s. I remember talking to him once. A splendid and confident fellow he was, Marshall McLuhan. He once said, "Real life often appears, at least, to be an imitation of art. Today, it is poster art." As you know, at the moment we are listening to radio. He called that a hot medium, as TV is a cool one, says McLuhan. Hyperion Knight. He's a pianist of our day. It's a splendid technique. He loves a wide variety of music, and he now plays for us Percy Grainger's Molly on the Shore on the Piano Matters. Thank you. Oh, and that was a splendid performance of Molly on the Shore by Hyperion Knight. A splendid performance, a splendid chap, and, as you heard, a fine piano player. I've always liked Poulenc. He never seems to treat the piano badly, if you know what I mean. Listen to the very suave intermezzo in A-flat played by the great Arthur Rubinstein. Poulenc seems to have been dreaming of Gabriel Fauré, who had died in 1924. And this is from 1943, and we hear the intermezzo in A-flat, played by Arthur Rubinstein in true French style. Rubinstein, the pianist, Arthur. I hope you can join us next week, same station, same time, etc., for another of The Piano Matters. I hope you've enjoyed our hour together, so keep with us. On June 9, 1864, the great Abe Lincoln told a delegation, "I do not allow myself to suppose that either the convention or the league have concluded to decide that I am either the greatest or the best man in America, but rather they have concluded it is not best to swap horses while crossing the river, and have further concluded that I am not so poor a horse that they might not make a botch of it in trying to swap." This is David Dubal. Thank you for listening. The Piano Matters is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network. The associate producer and engineer is Rachel Katz. For a complete playlist, log on to wwfm.org and click on Playlists. The Piano Matters is made possible in part by the support of the listener members of the Classical Network.